Good morning, Backroads Church. Thank you for being with us. Here we are in our third week of Lent, gathering together as we spend some time journeying with Jesus all the way to the cross and then to the empty tomb, through the cheers of Palm Sunday, to the change in the crowd. So we appreciate you gathering with us this morning, whether it be in person or whether you're joining us online. We're just thankful that you're here together with us this morning. A couple of announcements as we come into this time of worship together. Bosco Bell campus is going to have their Taco Tuesday this coming Tuesday from 4:30 to 7 to raise money for the youth group to go on their mission trips. And then there's also a soup competition that's going to be held on March 29th, I believe it is, for also to raise money for the kids to go on their mission trip as well. If you have any questions about that, you can always call and ask at the office, and we'll get you any information we can. So as we come into our time of worship together, where two or more gathered, Jesus promises to be with us. And we know that as we gather together, we come to worship, to be in God's presence, to feel God's presence with us. So anything we're doing while we're gathered together, we know that God is with us already. So as we lift prayers, whether you're doing it at home or whether you're doing it in one of our campuses, know that God hears each and every voice or each and every name or situation that you're lifting up during joys and concerns, and is always there, and he's calling us to be active in each and every one of those situations we lift as we spend this time together. Why don't we start out in prayer this morning? Gracious God, you meet us at the well, just as we are, and we come to that well, we're tired, we're thirsty, burdened. And so often, Lord, we're holding on too tightly to the things that we need to release, to just let go of. So this morning, Lord, we would ask that you would loosen our grip. Help us to let go of fear and guilt. Let us release prejudice or assumptions and anything that keeps us from receiving the living water that you offer to each one of us. Lord, as we gather today, we lift before you the joys of this congregation. We lift the blessings that you've poured out upon us, the healing that you've given us, the moments of grace that remind us that you're always near, always listening. We offer the concerns that lay heavy on our hearts this morning. Those who are sick, those who are grieving, those that are lonely or struggling, or those who are searching for their place. Lord, we would ask that you would surround each one with your peace and your comfort. This morning, we also pray for our nation. And we pray for those who you have entrusted with leadership, Lord. Grant wisdom, humility, and a desire for justice and peace. We pray for all, everyone, who's in harm's way today, especially with everything going on in the Middle East right now. Lord, protect the innocent. Guide the peacemakers and bring healing where there's conflict in this world. Watch over our soldiers serving around the world, those who live out their oath to defend our nation. Lord, keep them safe. Strengthen their spirits. Surround their families with your care. And Jesus, as we continue through this season of Lent, help us to be completely honest with you. To do that, we need to be completely honest with ourselves as well. Show us what needs to be released, what needs to be healed, what needs to be made new. Fill us again with your living water so that we may carry your hope into the world. We pray this in your holy name. Jesus, hear us now as we pray in the way that you taught the disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, as we work through Lent, I want to read from the book of John. This is chapter 4, verses 5 through, I'm going to go through 15. So hear these words from the Apostle John. He says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. It's near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that ask you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one of my favorite things about preaching these sermons is how much I actually learn myself as I research the passages week after week. The new thing I learned this week is this. The story of the woman at the well turns out to be the longest conversation Jesus ever had with a single person in any one of the Gospels. He did a lot of teaching. He talked to a lot of people. He stood in front of giant crowds. He stood at the temple and the synagogues. But as far as one-on-one conversations go, Jesus spent the most time building a single relationship with a Samaritan woman who came to the well hanging on to a bucket as well as a bunch of other baggage. In this story, our Samaritan woman, she has a past, a reputation that she just can't let go of. And Jesus tells her, he says, go get your husband and come back. And she responded, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands. And the man that you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Jesus pointed out that she was speaking the truth. And I have to believe that the truth that Jesus heard is in the baggage that the Samaritan woman is really hanging on to. She's gone through five husbands. And as she stands there in front of Jesus, she's living with another man who she's not married to yet. The story doesn't really tell us if she's made the decision to leave her, if she made the decision to leave her husbands, or if they decided to cut her loose. We're not told. In that day and age, though, it didn't really matter because she was a woman, a Samaritan woman. She was treated more as a possession. In her world, she carried less social value than the men did. But what she does carry And what she's hanging on so tightly to that it just weighs her down. She's carrying the shame that comes from all of these broken relationships. The shame she's hanging on to, it affects her life. It influences every day how she's living. And she's hanging on so tight to that shame that she won't even go to the well early in the morning when most of the women would normally be there. When I was back in Africa, I know I talk about Africa a lot because it made such an impact on my life. And I got to experience so many different things. And it changed me. But I remember as I read through this story, I think back to my last day in the bush in Africa. We stayed at a village just on the outskirts of the area where we hunted. And we arrived there late in the evening. And the people were so gracious to us. They showed us where we would be staying. It was almost like a little tiny Motel 6 out in the middle of the jungle, right on the edge of this village. And they were amazing people. The whole village made us feel just so welcome as we came in there on our last night of the hunt. They'd come into town, or as we got into town, they did what was a traditional hunter's dance for us. You could hear the drums way off in the distance, and they came in closer and closer and closer, and the women dance and sing out loud, and the men, one man would just lead a chant. They just did a great job of making us feel welcome, helping us understand a little bit of their culture. But this whole ordeal kind of went on pretty late in the night, and we hadn't slept very well for 2 weeks in the bush. So we were ready at that point for a good night's sleep. So we thanked our host for all of their well wishes and for all of their entertainment for the evening. And we just went ahead and we hit the rack. Well, first thing in the morning, at the crack of sunrise, we were awakened to the sound of all the local women. And they were meeting at the village well. And the well was right outside the doors of this little Motel 6 that we were sleeping in. They all had their big pots up on their heads. They were filling them with water from this foot pump well that was right in the middle, or right there at the edge of the village. And then they would load their water up, and they would take them back to their huts so they could start their day. This is how they started every single day. All the women gathered together, kids. Oh, it was great. They were chattering like a bunch of guinea hens, just making noise. The kids were running all over the place, playing. And really, this time of day, it was about the best time of the day for them. It was still a little bit cool, and they were all gathered together, and they were having a great time. You could feel the joy as I stepped out of my room and kind of just watched them interacting with each other. You could feel the joy in the air. When they had all filled their containers, they would take off and they would go back to their individual huts and they were off to work. This took a little bit of time because there was, 50 women at the well that morning filling everything up. So it took a little bit of time. And a little bit later, after everybody had left, it wasn't too long, a woman showed up all by herself. She was on her own. She had a young child with her, though, and this child was maybe 7 or 8 months old, not really walking yet. She had the baby right on her hip. And as she came closer, you could notice that her face was quite a bit different than the other women. As she got really close, you noticed that she had a very noticeable deformity that you could tell had been with her from birth. It was something that obviously made her just physically immediately noticeable that she was different than the other women. So different that she wouldn't come to the well at the same time as everybody else was there. She also carried herself differently than all the other women who had just left. There were no kids for her child to run around with or to play with. She had no one to help her lift her pot of water onto her head. because she was different, she was an outcast. She was actually shunned by the rest of her village. Because of the shame that she hung on to, she felt it was better if there was a barrier between her and the other village women. She tried to create some kind of a safe zone or a blockade between her and the judgment of the other people in her village. When we think about our Samaritan woman at the well talking to Jesus, we could see that she's doing the same thing. She erects a barrier. As a matter of fact, she comes up with a bunch of barriers between her and Jesus as he meets her right there at the well. I think that we can do that too. I think that we can hang on to things and we can use them to create what we believe are safe barriers to protect us. Let's look at some of the barriers that our Samaritan woman erected and see if they're much different than the ones that we hide behind ourselves. First thing, this woman erected a barrier of prejudice. This Samaritan woman at the well. Jews and Samaritans had a long-running hatred against one another. They were the Hatfields and the McCoys of their day. And this woman said, she says, "Why are you, a Jew, asking me to get you a drink?" Her first response to Jesus was to express the bitterness that had existed between Jews and Samaritans. She was hanging on so tight to a tradition of hostility and prejudice. She was hanging on to it so tight that it created a wall between her and Jesus. Do we do that? Do we look at the other children of God and see the color of their skin? Do we reject other people because of the way they worship? Do we hang on so tight to our cultural beliefs and our personal causes that they become a barrier or a protective wall that we use to keep us safe? Because when we do that, we could also be blocking out our ability to trust God. God came to the Samaritan woman in the form of someone she saw as culturally unacceptable to her. Friends, we never know when God may come to us in that same way. So another wall that this woman tried to hide behind was the wall was the social custom at the time. Jewish men were not expected to interact with any woman in public. A good, upstanding, righteous Jewish male was only supposed to talk to either his mother or his wives or his 60 daughters, but never to any other woman at all. The Samaritan woman who called Jesus out on this, she says, "How can you, a man, ask me for a drink?" It was a social scandal for a Jewish man to talk to a strange woman. She let Jesus know that she was aware of the custom that he was violating and that she was actually hanging on to that. She let him know, "I'm hanging on to that cultural difference." Our social customs can separate us from people too. In our society, whether we want to admit it or not, we know we segregate by more than just race. We find all kinds of ways to set ourselves apart. We use education to separate us. We use where we live. We use our gender, our orientation. We separate by each other by economic status as well. Middle-class people tend to hang out with middle-class people. Rich people tend to hang out with the rich people that they know. The poor people, well, they tend to hang out with other poor people. Social status and customs do a pretty good job of keeping us apart. Jesus, a Jewish man, a stranger to the Samaritan woman, spoke to her in public. How dare he? She was hanging on to her social standards and separated herself from Jesus. You never know. You never know when Jesus may come to us as a stranger. Jesus was an outsider for the Samaritan woman, and she recognized it right away. Jews didn't normally travel through Samaria. They went out of their way to avoid Samaritans at all costs. To the woman, Jesus was an outsider in her community, an outsider to her way of life, an outsider to her personal experience. Because she hung on to what was familiar to her, it was hard for her to understand it and take Jesus seriously. It's sad to say, but Jesus is often an outsider, even in our lives. We'd like to make Jesus like us, but he's not. He's different from us. Beyond our comprehension different. The things he hangs on to, his values, his ambitions, the way he conducted his life, the teaching that he offered, the people that he cared for, the sacrifice that he made are so different from what we're willing to do. Too many times we find ourselves hanging on too tight to the things that separate us from Jesus, that he remains an outsider to our way of life. But if we choose to loosen our grip, to let go of some of the things that we hang on to so tightly, the things that separate us from others and from Jesus, maybe then, just maybe, we too will open ourselves to the living water that Jesus is offering to this woman. And finally, one more thing that our sister at the well is hanging on to was the guilt. The guilt she carried from her past. She built a wall of secrecy to try and protect herself from her past. She came to that well alone, out of sight, out of mind, so she wouldn't have to answer to anyone. So when she encountered Jesus, she wasn't ready to be completely honest with. Jesus says, "Go and tell your husband and come back." And she answered, I have no husband. You see, she really didn't lie. But she wasn't exactly telling the whole truth either. It didn't really matter, though, because Jesus, he already knew the truth. She'd been married 5 times. And the man she was involved with now, well, he was someone that she was just kind of hanging on to at that time. And she held that secret so close to her chest. She didn't want Jesus to know the whole truth. After all, he hadn't revealed to her who he was yet. She was protecting herself from the Messiah by hanging on to everything that she could to separate herself from the truth. All the pain, all the trouble, all the mistakes, all the heartaches of her life. She was hanging on too tight, while at the same time trying to hold Jesus at arm's length. All Jesus wanted to do was to help her let go of those burdens. So he wanted to help her let go of those burdens. So what he really wanted to do was to give her something. Something that would free her from the weight that she'd been hauling around day after day as she traveled alone back and forth to that well. Friends, we do it too. We come here on Sunday mornings looking to get something out of church. We want to hear the music. We want to see our friends, or maybe could it be that we want our friends really to see us here? Are we being completely honest when we come to the well? Are we hanging on too tight to our things that we forget to let go and to be honest with Jesus? The Samaritan woman struggled with that at first, and so do we. I've been thinking about the things that we hang on to as we've been on this journey through Lent, this journey that will bring us all the way to the foot of the cross. The story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well reminds me of the woman I met in Africa. She and I were as different as we could be, socially, racially, geographically, economically, physically, gender. Neither of us felt welcome when the other was there. Yet at that well, we were both in need of the living water. And we were both offered that same living water. And the same goes at the base of the cross, where we're all loved by Christ. If we're going to take this season of Lent seriously, if we're actually reflecting on what we need to make new in our lives, or what we need to change in our habits, we need to be honest. And we need to allow Jesus to show us what needs to die in us so that we can be born again. If we're going to step out of the darkness and into the light, we need to be honest with ourselves and with Jesus. After all, what can we really hide from Jesus anyway? The woman at the well ran from Jesus and told her entire village, come and see the man that told me everything I ever did. Friends, be honest. Is there something you know that you need to let go of? Something that's leading you to say, I'm just hanging on too tight? Is it tradition? Is it a social norm or a prejudice or a reputation? Could it be a memory that you can't let go of? Is it some pain? Some guilt, some shame. Maybe it's a desire to have control. Maybe it's a sense of greed. Are you afraid to let go and to trust God to provide something that's so much better that it will fill that emptiness that you try and fill or try to stuff full with all of this baggage that we hang on to? The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ, or that the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one you're speaking to, I am he. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Jesus is meeting us right here. My hope and my prayer are that we can let go of the barriers that get between us and Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, as we offer you our gifts, our service, and our very lives, help us to loosen the grip on anything that keeps us from trusting you fully. Take the things that we've been hanging on to so tightly to, our fears, our comforts, our assumptions, our need for control, and instead, Lord, place in our hands and our hearts the living hope that only you can give. And Lord, we bring you our offerings this morning. Use these offerings and use us to bring grace to places of thirst, to bring kindness where walls have been built, and to bring healing where hearts have grown dry. We dedicate all that we have, all that we are to you, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.